There's a lot of gardeners in our church, and so I'm glad I've kind of asked a gardener to preach for us today with this sermon. And why don't I pray for Eugene and for us. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you speak to us through your word, and we pray now that you would come and speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit. Open our ears to understand, our eyes to see, our hearts to receive your word with joy, that we might be good soil and bear much fruit to your glory. And we ask this for our good and your glory. Amen.
We have one of our grandson's beehives in our backyard. And a while ago, I noticed a large thistle just in front of it, a very large thistle. It was about as tall as me. It was early in the morning, so there weren't many bees around, so I gingerly put my hand around in front of it, grabbed the thistle and pulled. And of course, it was really big. It had really big roots, and of course, it didn't come out. It broke off at knee height. And as soon as I had that bit held in my hand, I thought, oh, that would have made such a good sermon illustration if I'd taken a photo of it. But I'm sorry, you'll just have to imagine it. So today we're going to be thinking a lot about weeds and what to do with them. Also rocks, birds and hard ground. Now, a lot of what I'm going to say, it comes from this book. I've got a copy of it down there, and it will be in our library. So if anybody wants to follow this up some more, it'll be there. So it's called Parable Church, How the Teachings of Jesus Shape the Culture of Our Faith by Mike Burnett. And about a third of this book is applying the parable of the soils to how they do church, or more accurately, how they be church. And it's part in building a culture of the kingdom of God there. And I'd highly recommend it if you want to explore this further. So we've been looking for the last, this is the fourth in the series on Mark's gospel, with its three main themes of who is Jesus, what is the kingdom of God, and what does it mean to follow Jesus? And hopefully we'll continue to build on our understanding of each of these questions this morning. So let's look at first, why did Jesus like stories so much? Why parables and what are they? What about our stories? We all have a story. And do we have a story here as a church at St. George's? So firstly, who is Jesus? Well, among other things, he was a brilliant storyteller, and a large proportion of his teaching was done through stories. So why did he like them so much? Well, stories can draw people in to understand new concepts in a way that straight teaching never can. And in an oral culture, his stories would have been memorable and passed down and repeated many times. Now, some of Jesus' stories show us the Father heart of God, a God who longs for us to come home, who longs to restore us, to rebuild our lives, heal our hurts, and for us to walk closely with him. They're stories of a new and different kingdom, a kingdom of love, wholeness, and restoration, a kingdom where all are welcome. Remember the story of the two sons? The younger son came home broken and repentant, and the father ran to him and hugged him. But the father also loved the older son, whose hard, judgmental heart kept him from responding. And what about the story of the wedding banquet? All were invited, but many had excuses. So the host sent invitations far and wide. All who would could come. Jesus' stories are nearly all about the kingdom of God. And the parable of the sower, perhaps we might call it the parable of the soils, is one of these kingdom stories. And as a parable about the kingdom, do we see the Father heart of God, who longs that all people would draw close to him so that he could heal and restore them? So why parables and what are they? Well, they teach us about the kingdom of God. So why did Jesus say in our reading this morning, to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. I'd always been puzzled about this, but Jesus was actually quoting Isaiah 6, 9 and 10 that showed that in teaching in parables, he was both fulfilling a prophecy and taking on the same role that Isaiah had at that time. And Isaiah was given the task of proclaiming God's truth to confront Israel for their refusal to respond to God's call. But for those who were looking and longing for God's promised Messiah, who would come to save them, they'd get glimpses of a new way, a new understanding of the kingdom of God that had come near them in Jesus. But sometimes even his own disciples didn't understand and they had to ask him. And Jesus explained the parable of the soils to them so we can benefit too. And when we read anything in the Bible, we need to understand the original context so we don't miss things that would have been obvious to the original hearers. So how do we go from a culture where a farmer walked across his field, broadcasting the seed as he went, to farming practices where huge tracts of land are mapped, ploughed, planted and harvested by drones and computer-controlled tractors with not a person in sight and the weeds are killed by chemicals? Well, perhaps we can relate more to the story from the perspective of the home gardener. Whatever soil we start with, we nourish and improve it over many years with compost, mulch, pulling weeds by hand, removing rocks, building raised beds, watering and so on. And we understand that the quality of our crops depends on the quality of our soils. So also companion planting, where different types of plants are grouped together so they can help each other along and resist disease and repel or shield each other from attacks by insects, seems a beautiful picture of how we, with our different gifts and personalities, can work together to cover for each other's weaknesses. So now let's think about the parable of the soils at the beginning of Mark chapter 4. I'd always thought of this as only describing people's initial reaction when they first heard about Jesus and the challenge on our life. It is certainly that, but perhaps there's more. Remember, almost all of Jesus' parables teach us about God's kingdom. So what about this parable about the soils? Is it one where all are invited, but we must choose, like the parable of the wedding banquet? If so, what affects our response? So let's look at it in more detail. The sower broadcasts the seed as widely as possible, liberally and indiscriminately, and the seed fell in four distinct places. Firstly, the path. It was hard, bare, dry, exposed, downtrodden. And the birds swooped down to grab the unprotected seed as soon as the farmer had passed by. And then there's a rocky ground that didn't have much soil between the rocks, where the seed quickly sprouted, the plant grew, but then it shriveled in the hot sun because there was no room for the roots to grow. Then there was a patch of thorns, weeds and thistles. Now the gardeners among us know how quickly the weeds grow up, lush and green and smothering our precious plants. That plants have to put all their strength into just surviving and there's no energy left to set seed. And for us, weeds with thorns and prickles are much harder and more uncomfortable to try and remove. Think blackberries. But then there was the good soil, rich, fertile, damp, nourishing. The seed sank down into this. It sprouted, grew, and set lots of seeds. Hooray! But the disciples were confused. They didn't understand. This was too obscure for them. So Jesus had to explain it to them. Now today we may have the opposite problem. We may be so familiar with the story that it's lost its impact. Or we miss possibilities beyond what we've always understood. So when he was alone, the 12 and the others asked him about the parables, and Jesus told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." So what was the difference between the disciples and those on the outside, particularly the Pharisees and the other Jewish leaders? The truth about the kingdom of God was offered to all, but it was the disciples who kept coming back to ask Jesus more. And so the people's responses to the parables exposed the motives of their hearts. Now Jesus explained that the seed that the farmer sowed is the word of God, and people are like the different types of soils. When they hear the word, they respond differently. So the path, Satan snatches away the word that they heard, like the birds swoop down to snatch the seed. And then the rocky ground. These people received the word with joy, but they didn't last. They fell away when things got hard. They hadn't had a chance to put their roots down deep. And then there were thorns, weeds and thistles. Worries and other desires choke the word as it tries to grow in people's lives. But the good soil, people hear the word, accept it with joy and let it take root in their lives. Lives that honour God and draw others to him. So how often do we hear the word of God and need to decide how to respond? Can we, like a good gardener, work on the soil so that it will be more receptive next time? And if so, how? How do we grow as a part of the kingdom of God, both separately and together? And what about our stories? We all have a story, and this will help us learn more about what it means to follow Jesus. So where do we see ourselves in this story? What's the condition of our heart? Hard, rocky, choked with weeds? Or is it good soil, open to the word of God to grow in us and form us into the people he wants us to be? Maybe there's a bit of each type of soil in all of us. This side of heaven, we're all works in progress. So how can we move from where we are now to where we want to be? Good soil, where God's word can grow and flourish. Here are a few possibilities to start us thinking. First of all, the path. Have we put up a hard barrier so that we don't let God's word in? The farmer has two choices in changing the hard path into good, friable soil. He can attack the hard surface with a pick, or he can let it soak until it's soft. The second option sounds much better to me, especially since water is used in the Bible as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. We can let the blessing of the Holy Spirit soak into us and soften us. Perhaps we can remember a time when we felt especially close to God. Let him do it again. And then there's a rocky ground. The roots can't get down deep, so when things get challenging because of the word, we give up. Perhaps because someone opposes us or ridicules us for being a Christian or the values we hold. Let's dig out a rock or two so we can sink our roots deeper into God and his word. Now, the thorns, weeds and thistles. There are three categories of things here that can come in and choke the word so it can't produce God's good fruit in our lives. The first was the worries of this life. Parents with young children and those caring for sick or elderly relatives may feel overwhelmed. Remember, this time will pass. And the deceitfulness of wealth. We're particularly vulnerable to this in Australia today, where most of us are so wealthy and we don't even realise it. Wanting to continually become more and more wealthy is just part of our culture, and it takes so much of our time and energy. Or perhaps sometimes it could actually be that God has blessed us with wealth so that we can be a blessing to others. And the third thing it talks about there is the desire of for other things, perhaps success, reputation, career. Is it time to reassess our priorities? Can we see a weed today that's choking us that we need to root out? Or is it time we need the help of a friend or two? No experience is ever lost. Weeds are pulled out and put into the compost heap. Then the goodness is fed back into the soil. When things go wrong or we face hard times, we can grow stronger and closer to God. We can share this when we see others experiencing similar difficulties. But sometimes experiences are so traumatic or hurtful that we need extra help or ministry to bring us through to a place of wholeness and healing. This is a bit like putting weeds in a hot compost. Weeds with seeds, invasive roots like twitch and oxalis bulbs and ivy. We put them in a hot compost pile and eventually we'll be able to use these experiences to help others. Although the process we had to work through to get there may have been very painful. I also pull out thousands, literally thousands, of ivy seedlings every year because someone many years ago planted ivy in our area. So that makes me think how we live now can influence generations to come. And pulling out weeds is something we need to keep at constantly, a little bit every day. But from time to time, it's great to have the help of friends, especially in the spring when the growth becomes overwhelming. And perhaps if Jesus were telling the story today, he might have included possums and wallabies. So what about us? Have we confronted hard times, rocks, weeds and thorns? Where have we come from? Will our story help others? Can we see someone who's struggling with what we have struggled with? What helped us? Can we just walk with them? Can we share what we've learned in a way that affirms them and is not judgmental? And do we have a story as a church here at St. George's? What does it mean for us to follow Jesus? And how can we experience and grow God's kingdom? What is our story at St. George's? How can we join in God's great rescue operation? Where do we fit into God's kingdom purposes? God wants to draw all people to himself. How can we cooperate with him in this mission? Well, we can't change the seed, that's God's word. It was fresh and viable and given half a chance, always germinated. And Jesus doesn't tell us who the farmer is in the original story, but it was most likely Jesus himself. So nowadays we could extend that to anyone who preaches God's word. So we need to share the good news of the gospel as often and as widely as we can. But this parable is primarily about the soils. So what else can we do? What's our role? What can we change? Well, we can all be involved in working the soil, preparing hearts to respond to God's word. What if we see someone come into St. George's whose heart is hard, who may have been hurt by the church in the past? How can we love them and help soften this hard ground? Or maybe someone is just lonely or ill or doesn't quite fit. An unconditional welcome for those who are different from us is at least part of the answer. And is someone burdened by the worries of this life? Can we help in a practical way? Also, if we let the Holy Spirit work in our lives and in our worship, newcomers will experience the presence of God and his kingdom and want to know more about Jesus. At St. George's, we see the good soil in many ways. We're known as a welcoming church. We care for each other and we try to reach out in ways that will connect. But how can we care for each other more with the ongoing challenges thrown to us all by COVID? How do we maintain and build community in these challenging times? And how can we acknowledge our particular weaknesses and struggles and endeavour to root out the thorns, weeds and thistles from our own lives? Can we encourage those we love around us at St. George's to do that for themselves too? Living this sort of life as family and community, the life of the kingdom of God, takes bravery, grace, compassion, sensitivity, and resolve. So perhaps the challenge that Jesus' parable of the soils leaves us with this morning is twofold. Firstly, how do we cultivate the good soil in our own lives? Or more specifically, is there one thing today that I feel God is asking me to do or to change? And secondly, how do we cultivate the good soil as a church and let God cultivate it within us? Now, I'd like to just read you the words from a song that we can use as a prayer and a reflection on God's word today. Lord, let my heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood. When my heart is hard, break the stone away. When my heart is cold, warm it with the day. When my heart is lost, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart be good soil.